Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com. Well, didn't want to be here, have to admit. 5-8, three games left, 2-7-6 teams ahead of the Steelers, 2-6-7 teams ahead of the Steelers, and there are 2-5-8 teams. The other one is ahead of the Steelers. So here we are, 3 weeks left in 11th place in a conference that will offer six playoff spots, and five of those are pretty much accounted for.
Accurate statements all.
Yeah. I didn't see this one. Well, boy, I'll tell you what. I should have taped my reaction after the Titans game and just kept rerunning it. But I never saw this one coming. I really thought that based on what I saw against the Ravens, the Steelers would be able to handle the Dolphins at home in December on a snowy field. That's,
you know,
just me.
The asterisk there, I thought, was the play of center Cody Wallace, who was going to be making his first NFL start. Center's a pretty critical position. And I would not had the offensive line fallen to pieces and they not able to function because basic stuff wasn't happening. I could kind of see where that was maybe a possibility just because of the inexperience of Wallace in terms of playing in the league and working with this team and all that. But I didn't really see yesterday's game as a result of the offensive line collapsing like a house of cards. I think there were a lot of issues that I did not see coming. And apparently the Steelers didn't either.
Okay. Which ones? Issues did you not see coming?
I didn't think that Daniel Thomas was going to go for triple figures rushing, including a 55-yard run.
Yeah, and I didn't – see, I thought the Dolphins' offense, you know, was a plow horse in the Kentucky Derby. But they were not. And big plays. 55-yard run, 48-yard run, 48-yard pass to a tight end who knows, man. This guy, Charles Clay, I don't think I ever heard of him 2 weeks ago, but that has nothing – that is not meant to comment on his abilities because he made a lot of plays yesterday and he has made some plays previously. So,
yeah, what I had seen from the Dolphins in my extensive study pregame, which included watching a replay of their game against the Jets, they targeted – Clay and Brian Hartline more than they did Mike Wallace. And I was not surprised that that developed. I was not surprised they were unable to get the ball to Mike Wallace deep because they've had a hard time doing that this year. But, man, they did enough of everything else, didn't they?
But I didn't the Clay thing, I'm not saying – I just didn't expect him to impact the game in the manner in which he did, deep down the sideline. You know, and again, I mean, and that was a real route. That was not – he ran that route and that ball was thrown and he made a catch along the sideline and held on to the ball and got his feet in. I mean,
decent
it was a,
coverage.
Right. It was a wide receiver kind of – a good wide receiver kind of play.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. When I was talking about Clay surprising me, that was that. You know, Ryan Tannehill leaves Heinz Field with a 95.5 passer rating. He's not that kind of player or shouldn't be. And when he is, you know, I don't know. Is it a situation where everybody the Steelers play seem to have their best game against them? Or is it something that is they're being allowed to do that other teams are not allowing them to do?
I guess just looking at it from the perspective of a guy who covers the Steelers and is around the Steelers a great deal and is, hey, I've been to every game. I'm still surprised at 5-8, given what is on the roster. Let's look at Troy Polamalu's day yesterday. He had an interception return for a touchdown, which was a spectacular Troy Polamalu kind of signature play.
Yes.
He also had a dropped INT on the first possession that probably would have been a pick six.
Yes.
Although I caution myself on assuming anything after all the discussion about Jacoby Jones.
Right. Oh, I understand.
But there would have been an opportunity for him to run that ball into the end zone had he caught it.
Yes.
He admittedly missed his run gap on the 55-yard run by Daniel Thomas. And on the subsequent touchdown pass to Clay two snaps later, the tackle was missed in part because Troy said he was trying to rip the ball out. Now, the Steelers are up 4 points at that juncture. So getting the guy on the ground and maybe making him kick a field goal would seemingly be more significant than trying to get the ball out right there, but that's the play he chose to try to make, and he didn't make it, and they got in the end zone. Is that Miami being better than we thought, or Troy not doing things that we expect him to do? And I'm not trying to single him out as responsible, but I'm just grabbing a couple of plays here to illustrate my point. You know, tackles are made or missed. Passes are caught or dropped. Runs are finished or the sideline is nicked on the way to the end zone. And you put enough of those things together and you lose.
Yeah, and some of it I really believe is a function of, you know, good players who have experienced winning, looking at a situation and trying to bail out their teammates.
I could not agree with you more.
And really, in a lot of instances, that makes it worse.
Yeah, I think there was a frustration level that started to boil there yesterday for whatever reason. And I think it impacted the game.
So, okay. I got nothing else. How about you? Me neither.
Well, I mean, just got to keep going.
I understand. Yeah.
And you look at these last three games. I mean, the Bengals are coming here, I think, playing their best football of the season, despite the injuries that they've incurred. And they're on a roll. They're a division rival. Then you go into Lambeau Field, historic Lambeau Field. You'd hate to not put on a good performance there, right? Aaron Rodgers, no Aaron Rodgers. Packers good, Packers bad, whatever.
Right. It's a historic part of the league, and a traditional part of the league.
You don't want to go 0-4 at Yankee Stadium left.
No, and let me say this too.
And then Cleveland comes to town, and it's Steelers Cleveland. So these are the circumstances that you have left, and you know, try to put the pedal down again.
And even though the last two games were losses, entertaining. I mean, I understand that fans, you know, with the rooting interest, die a little bit with each loss. But outcome aside, you know, 22-20 comes down to a two-point conversion at the end in Baltimore. Just another Steelers-Ravens war. You know, the Dolphins game, back and forth, lots of lead changes. You had the elements adding to it, a lot of big plays. That almost at the end, sure, very entertaining. But I think that now, all realistically speaking, this is not a playoff team. And, you know, let's see how it finishes. And then, you know, I don't want the offseason to get here too early, but I don't think that there's much of a postseason for the 2013 Steelers.
Probably not, but... Boy, you'd be even more upset, would you not, if you ended up 7-9 and somebody got in at 8-8?
Oh yeah. There's right, like Ike Taylor said, you know, there's no quit. Ben said this too. But what happened yesterday did not help.
No,
Steelers.
It's potentially devastating. Yes. That's why I mentioned these games. Take these games for what they are and not for what they mean.
Right, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And that'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.